Please say hello to someone next to you. Give them a hug and kiss.
How you doing?
have you been in the building lately?
No, I haven't. I know. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh.
I need to talk to you about something about John Ewing.
Who's that?
The guy with all the dough.
I don't know who that is. Good evening.
Good evening.
I got to show you something. You see that right there? That's our key. This is the key to our building. This is a key like you ain't never seen a key before. This key has a computer in it. It records whenever I use it, wherever door. This is the key to our new building. This is the so we have ownership. Amen. 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 As you know, there won't be Saturday night services. There's only going to be Sunday services, 5 during the day. And so be strategizing on what service you're going to go to. When we have our open house the 21st, if you could just come to that one. I don't know how to tell you this, but God is doing something. You'll see on the 21st this month, August, that God's going to show you. I never thought this building would be so unbelievable. So I know you get excited about a building, but it's such an amazing tool to share the gospel. I was taking my daughter and son hadn't been there in months, and I was telling them all the Bible stuff around the building. The building's like a Bible. It has a whole walking, whole garden where you can take a tour of the whole Bible and all these symbolism through the whole building. And it's just ridiculous. I can't even put into words. So I can't wait till y'all see it. I just can't wait. So I got the key. We had staff meeting, our first staff meeting in the building Wednesday. I almost broke down and cried. Just remembering what those rooms used to be that we were in. Dark, nasty, dead pigeons and everywhere. Literally, there were pigeons living in this building with no windows. And so I'd walk in there with a flashlight, and pigeons would fly in the dark. It was scary. We start preschool tomorrow in our building. So they were in there moving, amen. So it's happening. The only thing I would say is just when you come, you know, we talked about the parking and the traffic. If you can really carpool with as many people as you do when you come there, heed to the parking plan, because we don't want to park in the neighbor's streets, and we want to park where we're supposed to park. Try to refrain from bringing backpacks, a security issue. And also, we've always had babies in other rooms anyway, so we have baby rooms for the kids, which we'll have there as well as here. So, and be prepared with a walk, because it's a big property. There's Starbucks, Trader Joe's, Panera Bread, Cold Stone, right across the street. So it's just a beautiful place. It's just a beautiful place. And all those people are just waiting. They're like, how many more employees do we need to serve all the rock people? So it's just a beautiful thing. Anyway, let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's try that one more time. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. You guys are so quiet. Are you awake? Let's turn to Judges chapter 16. Let's turn to 16 and start there. Judges 16. Next week, we have our quiz on Judges. And the week after that is our last Sunday. We're going to do something special. I have no idea what it is, but it's going to be good. And then after that, we are into Point Loma. So don't come here August 26th. We will not be here anymore for life. So if you think the rapture happened, just drive to Point Loma. That's where we got raptured to. Chapter 16. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for the responsibility you have given us and the opportunity to represent you in San Diego, primarily in San Diego. And we pray we can be a very bright light in this community. Thank you for what you did to that building. Thank you for how you have equipped us with a tool to spread the gospel to more people, even more people who will come in that building through all the technology, we could reach the whole planet. Thank you for that. And I pray you challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is, I was having a conversation with a young man who just graduated high school with my son. They play football together, so I was asking him where he was going to school. He told me, I was asking what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he says, I want to be a lawyer. I'm going to probably study law and, you know, see what happens. So I said, you're going to study law. I said, what kind of lawyer you want to be? He says, I don't know. I just want to be a lawyer. I said, well, there's a lot of different kinds of lawyers. I said, what kind of be? He says, well, I don't even know if I want to be a lawyer. I just want power. I said, you want power? He said, yeah, I just want power. I want to control something. And I just want, I said, okay, Satan, tell me what you're going to do with all this power. He says, well, you know, I don't even have to be a lawyer. Maybe I could be a teacher or a coach. I just want to have power over people. That's what he told me, right? And I says, wow. I says, really? And he had just finished asking me how long it takes me to put together a sermon. And I said, well, you know, I do it every day, a little bit every day throughout the week, and I get stories. And I says, what you just told me, I'm probably going to use in a sermon. Because that's a wild statement. What you, he says, you're really going to say my name? I says, I don't think you want me to say your name. But he says, I just want to have power over people and control people. And I don't know if he really knows how that sounds. But then he says, it's not like I'm unique. And I think he was trying to say, it's not like I'm trying to be arrogant. But then I said to him, you are unique. You are unique. In this story we're going to look at, talking about Samson. Everyone say Samson. When you think of Samson, you think of a big, strong, superhuman, athletic dude. And that he had all this power from God. He did all these supernatural feats. He had long hair. But one of the things you need to know about Samson, and we're going to start with the end of the story, is that he says, if you cut my hair, I will be just like any other man. When I read the story, that statement stuck out to me. That if you cut my hair, I will be just like any other man. In other words, when my hair is long and when I have God's power, I am not like any other man. And so when I read this, I'm thinking, that is so true. When the Holy Spirit works through you the way it was designed, you are not like anybody else. You are just like you, a unique person. And so today I want to talk about four unique things you need to do to bring out your uniqueness. Because a lot of times, you know, probably one of the worst things humans can do is try to be like other people. What I mean by that is try to blend in. God did not make you to blend in. He made you to be one of a kind. And Samson, as we know, was one of those guys. Let's start at the end of the story, because the Samson story goes from chapters 13 to 16. I want to start at the end, just kind of give context to this. And he had three women in his life, at least in this, in the Bible. I'm sure he had more because he was a true player. And in this story, we're going to see his third she-devil, Delilah. And every time you have a she-devil, you have a he-dummy. But his third she-devil entices him to tell him his secret. But I just want to read this. Look at verse 4. It says, afterward it came that he loved a woman from the valley of Zorek named Delilah. Everyone say Delilah. Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him, Samson, and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. In other words, we want to know what makes your husband so powerful. Why can't we hold him down? Why can't we defeat him? If you walk with God and God has worked with you, man cannot stop what God does through you. That's a fact. Man cannot stop God. Now, man can mess you up, and in a sense, God will leave you alone. But if you have a supernatural enablement, God has given you supernatural power to preach, teach, pray, serve, give, encourage, whatever that, there's no law against it. The Bible says there's no law against that. The fruit of the Spirit, there's no law. Nothing can stop that. So these guys are saying, tell us where he gets his great strength, and we'll pay you. This is his wife. This is his wife. Look what she does. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Think about that. Tell me how we can tie you up and beat you down. That's why he's a dummy. He should have just went slap and just left. But no. Look what he says. Verse 7. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Say be like any other man with me. Be like any other man. Get that in your head. Because you were not designed to be just like any other man or any other woman. You were not. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, then they did it and it didn't work. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with noose ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Everyone say, "Be like any other man." And she tied him up. It didn't work. Of course, he doesn't see it. She's trying to dog him out, but she, you know, because he's a dummy. Verse 13. Then Delilah said, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, oh, that what you may be bound with." Need some more estrogen. And he said to her, "If you weave 7 locks of my head into the web of a loom." And then she did it and it didn't work. In verse 16. She pestered him. It came to pass when she pestered him. Say pestered. Who? Pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Those are powerful words. That he told her all his heart and said, "No razor has ever come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak. And what? Be like any other man." You and I were not meant to be like any other man. You weren't. Now, you may have been told or convinced by your family, your culture, your failures, the devil, whatever, that you should just lay low and be normal. Just be like everybody else. Has anyone ever told you, why can't you be just like everybody else? And you know what you should say? Because God didn't make me like everybody else. He didn't. He only made one of you. One, and then he broke the mold. And so here's Samson. His not like any other manness is very obvious. Some people's aren't very obvious. You don't have to necessarily be as obvious as him. But still, God, what is my unique? So number one in your notes, I want you to write down. One, you must identify your unique talent. You must identify your unique talent, skill, ability, gift. What is it that God has designed you to do like nobody else? Not that no one else can do it, but the way he does it through you is unique. I was watching some show. Oh, no, it was Ripley's Believe It or Not. I never watched Ripley's Believe It or Not. I just don't know why. But I was flipping through, and it showed these blind kids walking around going, anybody see that? A bat sees through echolocation. A bat sends out a sonar, a sound, and the sound bounces off its surroundings. It comes back to its brain. Its brain forms a picture of its surroundings, and that's how it flies. Which, to think about that evolving, is ridiculous. You're talking about a very, very sophisticated sonar system. And when a bat does, it goes, and it sends out the sound all around it, and then the sounds bounce back, and it forms a picture in its mind based on the sound coming back. Crazy, ridiculously complicated. Praise God that you did that. Well, what happened was, what this blind guy was teaching these kids is that they could do the same thing with their mouth. That they would, and they would listen to the sound bounce off their environment and tell them what's around them. Matter of fact, Ray Charles did not use a cane. He used echolocation through his shoes. He would listen to his shoes and his heels bounce off the wood or the floor and it would form pictures around what was around him. So he knew if he was walking down a hall and the sound went dead, he knew there was a doorway there. And so he did the same thing. That's why he one of the ways he didn't use a cane. Well, these kids are walking down the street, blind, walking down the sidewalk in a street, and the guy's walking and he goes, "There's something next to me," and it was a sign. A little sign. And he said, "It's a little sign." Then he walked, said, "There's a car right there." They're outside. Then he walks up to a house that has all these bushes in front of it, and he says, "There's something there." And the guy said, you know, basically he's a tall, and he says, "Yeah, there's bushes or something." Almost like they could see. I'll tell you how crazy this guy's, these kids. And I don't know if they did this through echolocation, but at the end of the segment, they were riding bikes. They were riding bikes. They were riding in a parking lot in circles, and they were also riding dirt bikes down hills. They were blind. They were blind. There was another girl. She's a swimmer in the Cayman Islands. She swam 100 feet down, 2 minutes held her breath. No air, one breath. And she swam around for 2 minutes. Now, that's physical. What about spiritual? What, when the Holy Spirit shines through you and flows through you, what does it, what are you designed to uniquely, for it to uniquely do? In our building today in Point Loma, we have all these screens. It's going to end up being around 2,700 square feet of screen that we're going to show video on. And right behind me is going to be a 16x9 screen that will have just my image, but the rest of it is support for the video. And today, the screen behind me is just a frame. There's just a hole in it. There's nothing there because they didn't put the screen on it yet. And if you were to shine the video through that hole, you wouldn't see it. It would just keep going. And it looked like a little light, but you wouldn't see an image. But when they put the screen in the frame, you're going to see the image because the screen is going to catch the video and make an image. When the Holy Spirit flows through you, what do people see? What happens? Is it, has God made you a teacher? Has God made you a preacher? Has God made you, given you the gift of helps? Are you an encourager? Do you have wisdom? Some of y'all have wisdom. You just think that what you know is common. But you always wonder, how come no one knows what you know? In other words, you might think everyone's stupid. She's like, why don't they just do this? Or why don't they just do that? Or you may be like one of these organized. How many of y'all are real organized? Raise your hand. Okay, y'all just, you can come in and just like, you can organize a room. Your room is like, I can't keep my office organized or clean for nothing. Every day I write down, clean your office today. I always get like 80%. This is every day. I get 80%. I go, that's good enough. But I can never get it where it's like, because I get brain damage. I have brain cells dying when I try to figure out, where do I put this one piece of paper? Some people, can anybody relate? I hate that. And it just sits there. And you, matter of fact, I heard a guy say once, one of the keys to keeping your office clean, it's an amazing tactic if you can do it, is that he says, never touch a piece of paper twice. So in other words, if you touch it, you got to put it where it's going to end up. So what do? I end up walking around my room with all this paper in my hand. Where do I put this stuff? But some people, out of y'all, everything is like this. It's organized. Some of y'all organize people. You can organize. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And so Samson, look what his gift was. Look at 14 verse 6. His gift, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had strength. Strength. Just flow with it. Everyone say strength. S-K-R-E-N-F. Strength. 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 Verse 6, chapter 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he tore a lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father and his mother what he had done. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had strength. Now, it says that he tore apart a lion like a young goat. How do you tear apart a young goat? I was like, I think that's kind of hard, but I don't know. Look at verse 19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men and took their clothes and gave the change of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What did he do? He went out and killed 30 guys because he lost a bet, and his bet was he had to give people 30 men clothes. So he went out and killed 30 guys, took their clothes, and gave it to the guys who lost the bet. I'm just reading what's in the Bible. I'm sorry. Look at chapter 15, verse 4. It doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I'm going to give him the credit. It says Samson went down and caught 300 foxes and took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put torches between each pair of the tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up their shocks and the standing grain as well as the vineyards and olive groves. So the brother went out and caught 300 foxes. How do you do that? He tied them tail to tail, put a torch, and then ran them through the field so they burnt up the field. Where would 300 foxes live? look at verse chapter 15, verse 14. Chapter 15, verse 14. The Philistines got mad at him. It says, when the Philistines came to Lehi, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came standing, shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Okay, so you get the point. When the Spirit came on Samson, he got scrimped and he did stuff. He did stuff. At the very end, they took his eyes out. After Delilah got him, the she-devil, the he-dummy, got his eyes taken out, and he was standing underneath this porch where there was 3,000 Philistines above him in a building. And he told God, give me scrimp one more time so I can avenge my enemy. And he pushed the pillars of this porch. The building fell and 3,000 people died. And that's how he died. He had strength. What has God empowered you to do? Again, we talk about, we have a gifts test. You can go online, take a spiritual gifts test, and it will give you a hint, if not your answer. It will give you an answer. Here's what your spiritual gift is. And if you have a spiritual gift to do that, that's number one, to understand your uniqueness. Look at number two in your notes. Number two, after you identify uniqueness, you must make a unique vow. You must make a unique vow. This is where Christianity is differentiated from religion. In religion, religion will tell you everybody does the same thing. You go to church on these days, you say these prayers, you wear these clothes, you do this, and there are common things in Christianity that we need to be doing. But because you are unique and because you have a unique relationship with God, God has a unique plan for you, and he is going to call you to do something that maybe only you do. Self-imposed limitation that is only for you. Maybe, I have a friend who has issues with sexual addiction, and part of his rehab is that he can't drive down any street that has adult bookstore on it. He has to know where all the adult bookstores are, where all the strip clubs are, and he cannot drive down those streets. If you're an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, you know you cannot take one drink, and maybe some of you can't look at a bar. Don't have any alcohol in your house. They are very self-imposed limitations. What was Samson's? He was a Nazarite. Everyone say Nazarite. There's only three guys in the Bible that we know of that were Nazarites from birth: Samson, Elijah, and John the Baptist. Look at chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, or 1 to 5. It says in chapter 13, it says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So there we go. They did evil, they rebelled, and they were oppressed by the Philistines. Now there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. Everyone say Manoah. Say Manoah. This is Samson's dad, and his mom couldn't have any babies. And the angel of the Lord, remember, angel of the Lord is Jesus, appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or any similar drink and not to eat anything unclean, religiously unclean. Not necessarily it was dirty. It was forbidden by the Bible. Verse 5, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. His vow was that he was a Nazarite. He also would not drink any wine or anything from the grape. He also would never cut his hair. That was his vow. Now, is there power in growing your hair long? No. But for him, that was part of his vow. What has God called you to do? And let me say it this way. There is something that God wants you to do, just you, that will enhance your spiritual power. Maybe God wants you to get up early in the morning. Maybe God wants you to study more at night because you're a night person. Maybe God wants you to not, at lunchtime, stand at the cooler and gossip with all your friends. He wants you to go by yourself and eat your sandwich and read the Bible. What is it that God wants you to do that God told you to do? That God says, I want to put you on my own discipleship program. Because if he hasn't, then what are you doing? Who has decided how you are to develop your unique gift if you haven't heard from God? Who knows what your unique gifts is like no one like God? God does. He knows not only what it is, how it should be used, but he also knows how it should be perfected, how it should be strengthened. Have you ever heard God from that? So my challenge to you is say, God, what is the unique value you want me to make? What is it that you want me to do? You know, we have freedom in God, but not everything he allows us to do is the most expedient thing for us to do. In other words, yeah, I guess you can miss church every now and then, but is that what he wants you to do? I guess you can drink wine. It's not a crime to drink wine, but maybe he doesn't want you to. Maybe you can have a beer, but maybe he doesn't want you to. Or maybe he only wants you to in your house. What is it that God has for you to do that only he wants you to do? Is your relationship like that, or are you just doing the religion thing, what everybody else does? So the first thing you do, what is your talent? Next thing you do, what is your unique vow that when you do it, you are doing it because God told you. I don't know how many of you ever went on a fast where you didn't eat food. I've been on many, many fasts in my life, from one day to 40 days, 20 days, 10 days, week, blah, 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 blah. And the one thing about a fast, a kid said to me one time, you know, what does not eating food have to do with being spiritual? I said, stop eating and you will find out. Because when you stop eating and when you give up what you are convinced you need to live, and you realize that you do not need it as much as you think, and God confirms that in your heart, and God gives you power like you've never had, your whole perspective on life changes. Your whole perspective on everything material, every relationship, every vice, every form of pleasure, it all changes. And when you make that vow and you keep that vow, and you know it's between you and God and nobody else, all of a sudden, you become more of a unique child of God. You become more of, your commitment to him becomes more personalized. Your relationship becomes more individual. You are not any longer one in the big sea of 6 billion people on the earth that's underneath this big heaven somewhere God's out there. It's now you and him. And in that time that you fast with God, whether it be food or TV or whatever it is, in that time that you set aside and you start fulfilling your vow with God, you start to get to know God on an individual one-on-one basis like never before. When I did a 40-day fast, my last 10 days I spent on the road traveling and speaking every single day. And I went from this day after Christmas, December 26th to February 4th. So from like, you know, the 23rd or 24th of January or whatever it is to February 4th was my last 10 days. I was traveling back east where it was cold. And I went to Pennsylvania, somewhere else, and then I went to Marion, Indiana. Has anybody been to Marion, Indiana? It was like 37,000 degrees minus. I had lost 22 pounds. I was just skin and bones, and I was carrying my juicer with me. And I was staying in the hotel for the last 7 days. I would speak in high schools two or three times a day, and speak at night. And I was all skin and bone. And I couldn't, when I was in the hotel, I would open my Bible, and this is no lie, I would open my Bible, and I couldn't even read it. Why? Because God's presence was so strong, I couldn't even read the words. You know what he said to me? My presence. My presence is all I want you to do. When Solomon built the temple, I believe it was Solomon, when they built the temple, the glory of God filled the temple so much the priests couldn't do their function. God says, it's not about the function. It's about me. It's about me. And when you say, you know what, I'm gonna consecrate my time with God, whether it be in the morning, whether it be at night, whether it be every Friday I'm gonna fast, whatever it is, and you can't have too many. Matter of fact, you want to get to the point where everything you do is God ordained. When you go to church, where you sit, what you do when you don't get your seat. What Bible verses you're reading, who are you going to minister to at work? And every day you're saying, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Look at number 3. Fight your unique battle. Fight your unique battle. God says, I made you unique. No one has your DNA. No one has your eyes. No one has your fingerprint, palm print, toe print, footprint, vein pattern in your hand, vein pattern in your foot, vein pattern in your eye. No one has your nose. No one has your lips. No one has your ears. And no one has a combination of those three. And I can go on and on and on how unique you are. God says, I got all that. So you identify, okay, God, if you made me that unique, and then how my spirit is going to flow through you is going to be very unique. Now I want you to identify, when that spirit flows through you, where is it supposed to be directed? In other words, if God has God has called you to organize your business? Has God has called you to organize your family? Has God called you to organize a ministry? What has God called you to do? When Nehemiah was serving, the Jews had gone back to Jerusalem, and he had heard that the walls were broken down in Jerusalem. And look what he says. The Bible says, Nehemiah 1:4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept, and for some days I mourned, I fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. When you hear of somebody who doesn't have God, who is it that you hear about that hurts you the most? Should you hurt the same for everybody? Not necessarily. And what I mean by that is some people have been given a heart for the elderly. Some people have given a heart for kids. Some people have given a special heart for homeless people. What group of people that when you hear about their plight, it hurts you the most? What group of people has God given you a burden for like no other group of people? I was going to speak at this pastor's conference, and another pastor was also going to speak, and he got in the van to drive from the airport. I hadn't met this guy. We were talking about each other's churches. And then we started talking about what we were going to talk about at the conference. And I basically was saying, I'm going to talk about, you know, mapping out a city where a church could have everybody in their church identify a group or affinity group of people in the community that they would be interested in ministering to. So you would challenge everybody in your church to pick an affinity group, whether it be homeless, whether it be elderly, whether it be kids, whether it be foster care, whether it be juvenile hall, whatever it is, identify a group of people in the community that everybody in your church would say, that's who I want to minister to. And he says to me, what if people in your church can't identify with any affinity group? I says, I would say they're probably not saved. Because Jesus is pleading to the world through us. In other words, what he was saying was, what if my people in my church are not interested in helping anybody? I was like, how could that be possible? How could Christ, who came to save the world through the church, not give people a burden for the people he came to save? That can't be. And the only reason that would be is that people haven't asked that question. They haven't nurtured that desire. They haven't prayed about it. But if you really think about it, there's somebody out there and there's a group of people out there that God has created you to reach. It may be people who have been through your pain. You've been through a divorce? There's a divorced person just like you or in process that is dying to talk to someone just like you. You've been molested? You've been mugged? You've been fired in your own mind unjustly? I don't think anyone justly thinks they've ever been fired. It's always someone else's fault. What have you been through? You know what? I bet you, I guarantee you, there's no temptation except what is common to man. There's somebody out there that is going through that right now who is dying to talk to somebody, and there's you. You were abandoned by your father, your mother, when you were a little kid? There's somebody out there. You know there's kids in our foster care system, they call it aging out when they turn 18. They're out of the system, and they're on their own. Imagine you're in foster care, you have no parents, you live with people who are not your family, and when you get 18, you're on your own. Figure life out by yourself. You have a heart for those kids? Did you even know those kids existed? You know, there's a mom with two kids right now going to sleep under the bridge on 163 in Washington tonight. You have a heart for that person? Who is it? Well, the Holy Spirit says, I've given you this gift. I'm going to work through you to fight this battle for these people in this unique way, and I could be real powerful if you would make this vow and set aside yourself for me so I can stir it up in you and perfect it and make it strong. Just like an athlete says, I'm going to go work out, or a student says, I'm going to go study, this is the same thing. I want you to set aside time so you can get to know who I am. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit now. So you can understand my voice, my leading, my directing, how I'm supposed to power you. We don't want to deal with that because it's so spiritual. It's so, how do you grab it? It takes time to sit and listen to God's still voice. Look at number four. Lastly, acknowledge and surrender to God your unique weakness. You know what Samson's weakness was? Women. Now, I'm not blaming the women. Though I'm not trying to hate on the women. Samson was a knucklehead. But his weakness was women. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he went up and told his father, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as my wife. Lust of the eyes. What do? And you know, guys are visually stimulated. I like that. Dad, I want that. That became his first wife. And she pestered him and vexed him as well. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Oh, by the way, she also stabbed him in the back, and she was given to his best man. That's a whole other story, and he lost her. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot and went into her. Prostitute, come here. And they got busy in their own time in their deal. He said he had issues with women, okay, lust of the flesh. And look at verse 4. Afterwards, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And what did Delilah do? She lulled him to sleep. She stabbed him in the back. For money, she sold him out, and he was killed. Your weakness will kill you. Your weakness will destroy you. You could say, my unique talent is this. I can preach. I can teach. I can organize. I can serve. I can make people happy. I can encourage, whatever it is. And you may have your vow. I pray. I'm godly. I'm this. And you may know your people and who you're supposed to help. And you're on point with your ministry. But here's what the devil does. I know your weakness. And what he does, he very subtly, just like she did, Samson, come on, you big muscle man. Tell me where you get your strength. Samson, you don't love me. Come on, Mr. Man. You're my husband. Why you lie to me like that? Samson, put your head down here. Let me rub your hair. Tell me where you get your strength. You know what the devil's doing? The devil's doing that to you. Samson. And you know what? You ain't thinking about it. Because he's slowly dragging you in. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to tell him. You're going to knowingly walk into a trap. Knowingly. You know why? Because you're going to have gotten away with it so many times. And you're going to think it's no big deal. Samson was killed. He ended up killing himself and all the people with him. They took his eyes out and they tied him up and they walked him around and made him work. And he didn't, what happened was, when he cut his hair, she said, the Philistines upon you. And he tried to break the strings and God left him because he did exactly what God told him not to do. My encouragement to you is that you acknowledge your weakness, your uniqueness. But you have to acknowledge your weakness, and you have to surrender that weakness to God, and you have to make sure that you understand that why has God allowed that weakness to stay? One, we're sinners, and we would have to be perfect for it not to be there, but it's also a way for us to stay dependent on God. And if you can't think of your weakness, watch out. You need to identify your weakness. It may be something as simple as chocolate. Because chocolate leads to something else. And something else leads to something else. You know how heroin starts? Marlboro. Serious. You start with cigarettes. And then you go to weed. And then you go to powder. And some people may jump all the way to heroin, but probably not. And then they go to a little something else. And so you have to understand your weakness. Your weakness may be your psychological makeup. You may have an addictive personality. I have an addictive personality. I could do stuff over and over. If I like something, I can do it over and over again. Like if we have cookies, my wife's like, only take a few. Because I will sit there and eat the whole thing. And you too, right? And be choking and still eating. I'm going, it's no wonder I'm not, the nutty professor, 400 pounds. Your weakness may be your psychological, it may be your ADD or your DDD, whatever it is you got. But you have to understand that the balance is, God has given me these things to do. But if I am destroyed, if the devil's going to get me, it's going to be here. And if you could identify that and be honest with that, and here's the kicker. If you could share that with somebody, and if you could say, can you watch me? Can you hold me accountable? That's maturity. But if you say, no, I'm going to do this by myself, and I'm not going to tell anybody I could beat it, that's what the devil wants. That's what he did to Eve. Eve was all by herself. Eve, come over here. Psst. Let Adam do what he's doing. And he deceived her when she was alone. But if you could say, here's my weakness, here's my vow, here's my talent, then God can use you. But what you don't want to do is blend in and just do what everyone else does. No. One thing about our church, some people ain't going to like it. You know why? Because it's different. That's okay. It's very okay. Because, it just is. But that's okay. You are different. And God is saying, I have something very special for you, very unique. And I can't encourage you enough to be pursuing that. But watch your back, because the devil will take you down. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you so much that you have a very special plan for us. We thank you so much that, Lord, we are the apple of your eye. You have a big eye. You have many apples. And the devil, he always wants to marginalize us and get us to settle for second best, to get us to compromise your call in our life. And Lord, he wants us to just blend in. But like the stars in the sky, you made us unique. You made us one of a kind. And may we honor your creation. May we honor your creativity. May we honor your plan for our life. And may we use it in a very special way. Lord, I pray you give people boldness to be who you made them to be. I pray you give them courage. I pray that you challenge them to pursue that small, still voice that's telling them to go, to take a risk, to dream, to lay it all on the line. I pray you give them that challenge, that encouragement. And I also pray that they would watch their back, that they would acknowledge that they are weak in an area, and they will protect themselves from it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.